last two comics. Next comic is not me. She's someone else. Rachel Raphael.
You could be.
Is this on?
You could be me in 10 years, right? Is this? Do you want to be me when you grow up?
Yeah.
That seems like a bad decision. I have. When we hosted an open mic, which we did for a month, I did just start telling the audience members that me and Geneva were the same person. They just weren't paying attention enough. I also said that about someone else who was much taller than us and wasn't wearing glasses, because I was like, I assume men don't even notice anything anymore. So I do have some new jokes that Geneva hasn't heard. Should I tell those?
Yeah.
All right. Last year I lost 25 pounds. Yeah, that's a joke. Thank you. That is approximately the weight of a corgi dog. So if someone has a corgi dog that I have a photo shoot idea, it's just me putting a corgi dog in a zip-up hoodie and being like, this used to be what I look like, but it'd be adorable. So let me know if you have a corgi dog. But besides that, now to lose any more weight, I have to do like strenuous workouts because... You guys, trust me, you still want me to be able to drink occasionally, because otherwise everyone's getting punched. So I have to do strenuous workouts now. So I joined ClassPass. Have you guys heard of ClassPass? It's an app where you like give them some money. Don't worry, I got a free month. I'm still a Jew. I worked it out. You give them some money or you get your free month, and then you can go to like random trendy workouts in the city. Now I was very scared of these workouts. I'm like, people like me don't go to these workouts. I'm like, I assume like what happens at these workouts is like thin people with boyfriends go, like they've left their 9-to-5. Now they're, you know, at their workout. These are so they're thin. They have boyfriends. They've convinced themselves that they like eating salads. Then they talk about gentrifying the neighborhoods they live in. And then when they're finished with the workout, they go back to those neighborhoods and I guess order more Starbucks. I don't know. That's what I assumed. That's what I assumed happens. So I was looking at ClassPass. I'm like, well, whatever, I just have to do this. And then I looked at all the names of the workouts. I'm like, what is going on? There's like none of the words are actual words. There's like Body Rock and Mat Box. That's a real one. Sculpt. I think Chisel is a real one. There's one just called Pound. One's called The Ride. And a friend of mine is like, I think that's just sex at a gym. And I'm like, well, it's a male instructor, so I guess we're going. We're going to find out. There was also Party Ride. So I don't know if that's like a group thing, but there was not Party Pound Ride. So that's good. The other one I saw was Sprocket. Okay, that one I just made up. I just made up Sprocket. Of course I did. But I was thinking, I have thought about some great workout ideas that are better than all of these. The main one I was thinking about is Pogo. So you remember how much fun you had as a kid, playing on a pogo stick? Well, we've taken a pogo stick, we've made it less fun and like painted it black. And now we've done a workout where you have, you know, a shittier pogo stick. We blast techno music at you. You have to wear like special gloves and socks that you can only get from us. And you must come to the class 20 minutes early to learn how to touch our special shittier pogo sticks. And that's Pogo the workout. The other workout is called The Thirst, and that is just like, there's just like a really hot guy or girl just like walking up a mountain really fast, and you have to like keep up if you want to keep seeing him. We would all go to that, guys. We would. And then the last workout idea is heist workout, and that is you just have to like do things that people did in heist movies. Because like I haven't actually seen the movie Entrapment, but I feel like Catherine Zeta-Jones did a lot of core work when she moved her butt through all the lasers. I feel like, you know, whatever happened to Tom Cruise during Mission Impossible, it was a lot of work. to be able to look that good in the black bodysuit. So we do heist workout at some point when we say you've graduated. Have you like secretly stolen a diamond from a bank and you give it to me and you don't even know? Maybe. That's, you know. I'll talk to you about it later. We're stealing diamonds now. Yeah. So those are my workouts. Should we see what's in here? Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, good. It's always good that there's pictures of my face on the back of these. I'm losing my mind. Yeah, I probably am. I'm doing comedy. I was walking over here and I couldn't remember if I was on the show, and I was like, well, let's say I go to the show and they're like, you're not on, and you're not allowed to be on, because in my head everyone's mean. No, just me. And then I was thinking, you know what? I just walked a corgi dog. And I just had a chili hot dog, so I've had a good day. And then I was really proud of myself, and I feel like to be proud of those two things kind of sounds like I'm losing my mind. This one just says, oh no, exclamation point. I don't know, everything? There's a lot of things I feel that way about, most things. Do you really think anything is going to happen? I mean, I don't know. Trump is definitely going to make something happen just by being an idiot. So I don't know. Do I think anything is going, like, what is anything? Do I think we're going to go to Mars? Am I going to lose 5 more pounds? Am I going to get a boyfriend? That would be anything if I got a boyfriend, if you guys know anyone. how long can you go without your phone? Not very long. It's kind of sad. Guys, I'm not actually making any jokes anymore. This isn't comedy anymore. You're just learning about my life, and I don't know how. The worst sex. I don't want to deal with it. I just can't deal with it. My favorite book. What the fuck is going on? I'm not this smart. All right, one more. I know I wear glasses, so it looks like... It looks like I'm smart, but I watch a lot of TV. My cat is better than your honor student. Agreed. Now, if Pam Benjamin, the usual host of this, was here, she would have died laughing. Yeah, cats are probably better than honor students. I don't know. I was almost an honor student, and I'm sure I was annoying. Oh, but the honor students were way more annoying than me. Two of them, one time in like ninth grade, called my house to ask me a question on like a math problem, and it was somehow like they had conference called and then called me, and I was like, and I wasn't even friends with them. I was like, hello, and she's like, hey, it's Dominic and Holly. What did you get on question 12? And I was like, and then I told them, and they're like, but how? I'm like, I don't know. And then I think I just hung up. So honor students should be allowed to just randomly call you when they feel like it. I'll just stay on the stage. Okay, cool. I'm staying here forever. Okay. Can we talk about porn a little bit? Pornography? I know. I have nothing about people snorting cum. Sorry. That's just you. I think they should make pornography better for women. It seems like America, we have a lot of opinions about like when women should learn about sex, how much sex they can have, who they can have sex with, what they can do after sex. But we haven't put any thought into like how to get them feel good before sex, or how they might like watching sex. Seems like we should just be consistent. That's not really a joke as much as like, you know, a platform, I guess. But if you go on like Pornhub or any of those websites, there's just one category for women. And you know it's for women because it's called For Women. Because you know what women love more? You know what women love? Getting told we all like the same thing and being put in one category. Love it. Like, you know what? Let's just up the ante with this. Let's just make this, like you know what? Once you can tell that, like, there's a woman on the porn site, maybe just, like, throw up some pop-ups that are just like, hey, you seem kind of bitchy. Are you on your period? Just, like, next pop-up. Why are you watching porn? Shouldn't you, like, be making someone a sandwich? Just, I don't know, just stuff like that. Also, I really don't understand the main porn trope, which is like, you order a pizza, the pizza delivery guy comes over, but he's like dropped the entire pizza, or he's just really bad at his job. And then, instead of calling the manager, because obviously he's going to get fired because this is the last time he can do this, you guys fuck. And that's the way of making the whole situation better, because I guess you already paid for the pizza. My issue with that, with this trope, is that you ordered a pizza and you don't have a pizza now. That's my issue. I don't understand. This is a fantasy. I don't understand why we have to choose between sex and getting the pizza you ordered. That doesn't make any, like, I don't know if that's like the difference between men and women. I want both sex and the pizza. I don't know. So like you know what, I'd really like some sex, some really satisfying sex, but I also still want to have to do my errands. No, that's fucked up. So the way I'd like to fix this is that, so you order the pizza, the guy comes over with the pizza, it's correct pizza, it's the exact one you ordered, seems very nice, there's consent involved, he comes in the apartment, then he puts the pizza like in the oven on low, then you guys have sex, then he gets dressed, and then hands you a slice of perfectly warm pizza on a plate and then leaves. Also, in that universe, there's also universal healthcare. So that's, and all right, thank you very much.
Yay. We are down to our last comic of the night, unless either of you want a set, which is totally cool. Just, all right, not at all. Okay. He runs a bunch of shows in Oakland at the Layover, and next New Year's, it's going to be super good. Mike Spiegelman.
Thank you guys. You made the show. The show exists because of you guys, so we appreciate it. And anyone who listens to it on podcasts through the proper channels, and anyone bootlegging this, because there's a thriving market. If I took this MP3 and I posted it on SoundCloud, it'll pop up everywhere. Like that's how I get my name around in the internet. It said I save files as my name, Mike Spiegelman. And then it pops up when you search it. It's like some site that posts MP3s that are on SoundCloud. I'm really smart. Yes, so like Facebook, did you know like every time there's an ad, the second time, there's always an ad on Facebook. And they always tell you your friends who like it. So I like the New York Times, so you guys will think about me when you're on Facebook. Because there'll be a New York Times ad. It'll be like, Mike Spiegelman likes the New York Times. And I'll be like, who gives a shit? I mean, you really went out of your way, Mike? And that way people will be like, oh, Mike Spiegelman. I'm getting free publicity by liking the New York Times on Facebook, because that's the second post you'll see. Hi. What's that?
The mic stand sucks.
Oh, it's all right. As long as I can, I should speak close to the mic. Love, colon, is it real? I would rather say, like, what is love? Because you assume that love exists by saying, is it real? I don't know. Probably not. Probably run out of steam. I don't know. No, of course. It's eternal. And, of course, the back... about it, but Raj knew he had to be the choice, as was there for the one man surrounded. It pained him to think about it. Not that. That's insane. Primitive cave person voice, do joke now. Ook, ook. Man walks into a cave. Cave tender says, what it'll be? Caveman says, I'll have a... And then a Geico commercial came on. He goes, turn that shit off. I don't want to see that shit. You know, my kid knows Fred Flintstone from a cereal box. The end. I'd be like, you know, Fred and Barney are the Cocoa Pebbles kit, box. A waste of generation. You gotta know your history. I should get small children to work for me. Oh, that would be great. You guys ever fold paper in threes and then put them in envelopes? Kids love that shit. They could come to the station and it would be like, oh, you know, actually, kids are great. Do you guys play those games where you you virtual farm and you press your, or you click, you press a button? Just give it to a kid. But they won't do it because it'll be on YouTube. They'll be watching YouTube. Be, well, how'd you get YouTube on that? Be culturally relevant. Well, I've been listening to a lot of shows here. You know, I don't want to brag, but I'm the guy who watches The Door every Friday for Pamtastic. Whether or not I perform them here, I usually try to get a set beforehand so I could feel better. Should be going to the gym. I feel much better when I go to the gym, but I don't get a set, and then I have to sit through a show where I don't perform. So I'd rather get a set in and then sit through a show. I had a point, but I thought it would be nice to pull the curtain for a second. Oh, cultural relevance. So I've seen enough comics, half my age, and so I've actually have some words that maybe if you listen to the podcast, lit AF, like I was lit at AF, so I'm going to use it in a sentence, eat ass, when you're young at heart, right? Hey, if you can pull it off. What was the other one? You throw shade. It's pretty solid. I don't know. Purple ketchup. I'm a Space Jam. Fucking, I don't know. A high-pitched thin tune. Anyone want to venture that? High-pitched thin tune. Oh, say. I don't think I've ever heard that. I'm losing my mind. You guys know that one. All right, there we go. This is really nice that these are set up. I'm just pulling out things. The worst thing about the bus. I love the bus. I don't want to talk about the fucking bus. I love the bus. No way I'm not talking about the bus. I will mention that one time I rode the entire bus and back, and there was like I hate when there's needles. I'll call it when there's the needles by your seat. Have you guys ever seen that? You got to watch the floor because there's creatures. Like, there'll be like a bug, but like a bug with like a horn on top of its head. And you're like, because if there's like a bug and like flying around in the bus, you're like, that's cute, buddy. You want to get outside the window? Let me help you. And then if you're sitting there and you got your food on your bags on the floor of the bus and your feet and your shoes and you see something crawl by, you're like, oh shit, it's a bed bug. I'm going to get a fucking bed bug. But then when you look at it, it has like, you know, this little Loki horns on top of it. You're like, oh fuck, I've never seen that before. It's going to crawl into my shoes. And then the needles. Like, you sit down and there's a fucking hypodermic needle with the fucking needle. I took the bus. So, you know, like, I like the corner seat because I can cram all my stuff in there and I try to be helpful. And then I can't offer my seat because I'm in the corner. But there was a needle right in the corner. I was like, blah. So I sat elsewhere and I left and there's guys sitting there and he was pretty, I don't know if it was his needle. I didn't see him before, but he was definitely okay. There was no needle there. But that guy, like the whole bus ride, I'm like, there's a fucking hypodermic. Do I tell the operator, the bus driver? I don't say driver, operator. Do I tell him there's a fucking needle back there? Or do I ignore it like everything else, you know? So I was like ignoring it. But when I got off, I looked, this guy was completely blitzed, like definitely blitzed. And also there was a garbage can right out at the bus stop. And on top of the garbage can was a big plastic bag full of apples, right? Like someone was just like, I'll put it on top of the garbage can and someone will take it. And me and that guy both looked at the apples. I was outside and he was inside the bus, which stopped at the bus stop. And I was like, I could take these apples home. And I went to pick up the bag. And the guy saw me do that, and he sticks his hand out the window, and it goes like this. And I almost, like, I should go to the gym before these shows and not do a set, but I was just like, I wasn't fast enough. I was like, you fucker had a needle on the bus and my kid rides on. Fuck you, right? On the other hand, it's like, I want this guy to hold a fucking bag of apples still out the window of the bus. The five as it goes three more blocks down gear, you know, Fulton. And I was like, I didn't do it. That's a little mean. How are we doing? All right. I'm going to do a couple more.
Yeah.
All right, good. Let me pick the last one. I like to stick with these cards. Someone actually took the effort. And cheese and bread makes me dot, dot, dot. It's a match game. Yeah, it makes me hungry. What do you guys like? Cheese and bread makes me a sandwich, grilled cheese. It makes me like, you put some apples on there, apple slices when you melt and make that cheese. That's pretty good. I don't know. People harp like, oh, I can't eat cheese. I can't eat. Well, I understand if you have a dairy condition, you're not going to eat the cheese. But the whole bread thing is bullshit. I mean, you shouldn't be eating all that bread, but. Bread and cheese makes me... I'm going to do it in a thin, high-pitched voice. To be fair, before I'm going to flip it over and I'll read that. I'd rather take the impressions, Rachel, from, as you were saying, from back here. Finished the routine today with the focus it stood up. Sorry, sons, he said, looking at pajamas. I'm going to have you greet the... All right, well, I should wrap it up, right? No way, son! I'm going to take off my pajamas. Woo. This is like really like cinema verite, this writing. This is like really, this real. I've been Mike Spiegelman. Thank you guys so much.
That is the least of this room's worries. So that's our show. Thanks, everyone. Have a good night. Drive safe. Thank you. I don't know your last name. Thank you, David.
Businesses nearabouts. Nobody knew or far from cared who I was all my life. 3,500 miles from birth, all opened up and at last belonged to me in great America. And now it's night in Third Street. The keen little neons and also yellow bulb lights of impossible to believe flops. Dark, ruined shadows moving back of torn yellow shades like a degenerate China with no money. The cat's in Annie's alley. The flop comes on, moans, rolls. The street is loaded with darkness. Blue sky above with stars hanging high over old hotel roofs and blowers of hotels moaning out dusts of interior. The grime inside the word in mouths falling out tooth by tooth. The reading rooms tick-tock, big clock with creak chair and slant boards and old faces looking up over rimless spectacles bought in some West Virginia or Florida or Liverpool, England pawn shop long before I was born. And across rains, they've come to the end of the land sadness, end of the world gladness. all your San Francisco will have to fall eventually and burn again. But I'm walking, and one night, a bum fell into the hole of the construction job where they're tearing a sewer by day. The Husky Pacific and Electric youths in torn jeans who work there, often I think of going up to some of them, like, say, blonde ones with wild hair and torn shirts, and they say, you ought to apply for the railroad. It's much easier work. You don't stand around the street all day, and you get much more pay. But this bum fell in the hole. You saw his foot stick out. British MG, also driven by some eccentric, once backed into that hole. And as I came home from a long Saturday afternoon local, the Hollister, out of San Jose, miles away across verdurous fields of prune and juice joy, here's this British MG backed and legs up, wheels up into a pit, and bums and cops standing right outside the coffee shop. It was the way they fenced it, but he never had the nerve to do it due to the fact that he had no money and nowhere to go, and no, his father was dead, and no, his mother was dead, and no, his sister was dead, and no, his whereabout was dead. But and then at that time also, I used to lay in my room on long Saturday afternoons listening to Jumpin' George with my fifth of Tokay, no tea, and just under the sheets laugh to hear the crazy music. Mama, he treats your daughter mean. Mama, Papa, don't you come in here, I'll kill you, etc. Getting high by myself in room glooms, and all wondrous knowing about the Negro, the essential American, out there, always finding his solace, his meaning, in the fellaheen street, and not an abstract morality. And even when he has a church, you see the pastor out front bowing to the ladies on the make. You hear his great vibrant voice on the Sunday afternoon sidewalk full of sexual vibratos, saying, why, yes, ma'am, but the gospel do say that man was born of woman's womb. No, and so, by that time I come crawling out of my warm sack and hit the street. When I see the railroad ain't gonna call me till 5 a.m. Sunday morning, probably, for a local out of Bay Shore. In fact, always for a local out of Bay Shore. And I go to the whale bar of all the wild bars in the world, the one and only Third and Howard. And there I go in and drink with the madmen, and if I get drunk, I get. The girl who come up to me in there one night, I was there with Al Buckle, said to me, you wanna play with me tonight, Jim? And I didn't think I had enough money. And I told this to Charlie Lowe, and he laughed, said, how do you know she wanted money? Always take the chance that she might be out just for love, or just out for love. You know what I mean. Don't be a sucker. She was a good-looking doll. And she said, how would you like to ulyukoo with me, mon? And I stood there like a jerk. In fact, bought drink, got drink drunk that night. And in a 299 club, I was hit by the proprietor, the band breaking up the fight. Before I had a chance to decide to hit him back, which I didn't want to do anyway. Not on the street. I tried to rush back in, but they had locked the door and were looking at me through the forbidden glass in the door with faces like undersea. I should have played with her shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-ka-dookie.
That last one, I guess that's the spoken part of the show today. That last piece is called October and the Railroad Earth, written by and read by Jack Kerouac, accompanied by Steve Allen on the piano. October and the Railroad Earth. And tomorrow it'll be October. We also included George Carlin and his reflection on the idea of rights. When you think about it, though, he's right on the money, because if the government wants to take away your rights, all they have to do is change the law. And then if you try to get your rights back, whatever you're doing is illegal, and you can be thrown in jail. So let's listen to some labor news now. This is Radio Labor, a worldwide view of the labor movement.
This is Solidarity News on Radio Labor.
This is a Radio Labor World Report recorded on Friday, September 29th, 2017. I'm Mark Belanger. The report this week is dedicated exclusively to the struggles of African workers and their unions to stop billions of dollars being stolen from the continent. This is Radio Labor. In South Africa this week, thousands of workers walked off the job to demonstrate against widespread corruption, the takeover of state activities by business interests, and illicit financial flows of money out of the country. The demonstrations were organized by COSATU, the Congress of South African Trade Unions, and the South African Communist Party. COSATU and the Communist Party are part of a coalition with the governing African National Congress, the ANC, but they have lately been distancing themselves from the ANC and its president, Jacob Zuma. Becky Ninshali-Inshali is COSATU's general secretary. He spoke at a media conference before the demonstration started about corruption in the country and state capture of government activities by an elite network, including business people.
South Africa is not a poor country. Its citizens are poor because poor governance and as a result of state capture and corruption. The administration, as led by the ANC president Zuma, has and continued to preside over economic contradiction and job losses. Corruption has become endemic under this administration. The revelation by the Public Protector Report on State Capture that show that this current South African administration has been captured and that there is a network of predator elite that is engaged in looting of state resources. This call for all of us as workers and citizens to stand up and push back against this rot. This strike is about mobilizing against the predatory elite. We are pushing for an appointment of Commission of Inquiry that will help unearth the extent of this rot and help us to ultimately dismantle this network. There must be a process to identify all those involved in the state capture, and they all need to be blacklisted. We demand that the private and public sector institution must refuse to deal with predatory elite and in particular cancel all commercial dealings with the implicated individuals. The money that will be recovered should be redirected to implement projects addressing the plight of workers, the working class and the poor. The time to reclaim the electoral mandate that we gave to the ANC is now. There is no messiah who will come and rescue us from the state capture and the cans of corruption. But it is our collective effort that will put a stop to this.
One of the issues which provoked the demonstrations in South Africa was the loss of billions of dollars which flow out of the country because of what are called illicit financial flows, or IFFs. And as it happens, union representatives from Africa were touring the United States this week to publicize the problems caused by IFFs. The tour was organized by the Solidarity Center, an international workers' rights organization allied with the AFL-CIO Labor Federation. One of the unionists participating in the tour was Caroline Kamati Mugala. Ms. Mugala is the executive secretary of the East Africa Trade Union Confederation. I asked Ms. Mugala to describe illicit financial flows.
In simple terms, illicit financial flows basically means illegal movement of money or capital from one country to another. And when I say illegal movement of money, we are talking about things like, you know, a drug cartel using trade-based money laundering techniques to mix legal money from sale with illegal money, or when you're talking about an importer using trade misinvoicing to evade customs duty, VAT, or income tax. And I will give a good example in Tanzania, whereby I think 2 weeks ago, there was a consignment of diamond that was seized at the airport, and the government is going to repossess that consignment because the government says the company underreported the value of the diamond. Or we are talking about, you know, corrupt public official using an anonymous shell company or bank account, you know, to siphon money from a particular country. Or, you know, money that is being lost through human trafficking or terrorism. So basically, that's what illicit financial flows is.
How much money is leaving Africa because of these illicit financial flows?
In general, around 192 billion leaves Africa every year. That is through illicit financial flow being one of it, one of the ways money leaves Africa, vis-a-vis $134 billion that we received.
Another unionist participating in the U.S. tour about illicit financial flows was Akator Jewel Odigi, the coordinator of human and trade union rights of ITUC Africa. The ITUC, the International Trade Union Confederation, is the global body which represents national labor centers such as the Ghana Trades Union Congress. I asked Mr. Odigi why unions in Africa were fighting so hard to stop illicit financial flows.
The question of reversing or stopping IFF is a workers' issue, it's a trade union issue, it's a community issue. Because like we have seen, IFF is a missed opportunities, opportunity costs for our people, opportunities to grow jobs, opportunity to pay fair wages, opportunity to defend the human rights of our people through effective public service delivery, opportunities to reverse poverty when oftentimes, when government is in short need of resources, they quickly think of raising our consumption taxes, which, you know, says as value-added tax, which oftentimes hurts the poor more than the wealthy. It's why we are involved with this.
ITUC Africa has for years been fighting illicit financial flows and campaigning for tax justice. Kwasi Aduamankwa is the general secretary of ITUC Africa. He was asked a while back what labor unions can do to help stop illicit financial flows.
What unions can do is to bring their muscle to support this campaign. How much tax gets lost through what is described as the illicit financial transfers? First of all, we need to educate ourselves fully and show, you know, the kinds of public services that the state is not able to undertake because it doesn't have the requisite resources. And to demonstrate that if we pursue the path of tax justice, and the taxes which have to be paid by these multinational companies are paid properly, that the state is pushed to fulfill its responsibilities to the people, especially in the critical areas of health and education. I think the first challenge is the need for us to get enough information to understand what the issue is about, to understand the various devious means by which monies that are owed to the state are siphoned out of our countries. We need to understand that very clearly. And then we also need to understand what the state should do that it is not doing because it doesn't have the appropriate resources, and to be able to explain all this fully to our people. And I think if the issue is posed in terms especially of public services in the area of education and health, because everybody needs that. I mean, what can anybody do without education? What can you do without a healthy population? Look at us in Africa today and the kind of public health menace that we face is because our states are weak and are not able to live up to their responsibilities. We need to explain all this first to our membership in ways that our people understand fully. And then on the basis of that, we can mobilize for action and make the necessary demands of our state. Because if we make the demands and they are clear and our states know that we understand what we are talking about, I believe that we can move in the right direction.
Extended versions of the interviews heard in this edition of the World Report can be heard on the Radio Labor website at www.radiolabor.net. And that's it. International labor news you can use. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.
Okay, so that was Radio Labor concentrating this week on the issue of money, illicit money going out of Africa, $192 billion a year. And of course, what that is theft. That's how you do business. That's what capitalists do. They figure out ways to get the money, whether it's legal or not, for many of them. Radio Labor. Listen up now to the Win Weekend Review. This is labor news from the United States.
Workers Independent News Weekend Review. I'm Doug Cunningham. A $6 trillion con game. That's what the AFL-CIO says the Republican tax cut for the rich plan is. The Labor Federation says the GOP is trying to con working people while delivering huge tax cuts to the rich. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka says the con works like this. First comes the promise that big tax giveaways to the rich will help us. The California Nurses Association, National Nurses United, is mounting a major door-to-door campaign in October throughout the state of California in a push for a state Medicare for All bill. SB 562 was passed by the state Senate but blocked from a vote in the state Assembly by Democrat Assembly Speaker Anthony Rendon. Martha Kuhl is Secretary Treasurer of National Nurses United.
The Healthy California campaign is going to be in every district, 80 Assembly districts in California, to knock on every door in those districts to talk to people about guaranteeing health care to everyone in California. What nurses in California, what California Nurses Associations want, and what the Healthy California campaign wants, is for the bill to be released early next year at the first opportunity in the legislature and move forward so that we can guarantee health care for all Californians.
General Electric is transferring locomotive manufacturing work from a union plant in Erie, Pennsylvania, to a non-union Texas plant. 570 jobs will be lost in Erie next year as a result. Scott Slauson is president of UE Local 506. He says the union fought hard in bargaining to save these jobs, and the fight will go on.
I just think that their intention was is they were going to transfer the work one way or another for a multitude of reasons. General Electric does not seem to value union labor any longer.
Slauson says GE constantly drives down wages with no concern about the effect it has on working people and our communities.
So it's just a matter of chasing lower wages and wiping out middle class. In a lot of cases, I mean, they want to go back to wage scales they were paying in the 80s and 90s.
Target stores say they will pay workers $15 an hour by 2020. Target is raising wages to $11 an hour from their current minimum of $10 starting next month. Fight for 15 says if Target can do it, companies like McDonald's can too. The Fight for 15 workers movement, backed by SEIU, started with 200 New York City low-wage workers walking off their jobs to demand a minimum of $15 in a union 5 years ago. Since then, SEIU says 22 million American workers have won raises, including 10 million who are on their way to $15 an hour. Kayla Gray is a worker in the Fight for 15.
We need this. You know, this will help millions of us coming together, marching, going to McDonald's. You know, we're all fighting for the union and $15 an hour.
Workers Independent News provided by Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham.
Okay, that was Win Weekend Review, a short analysis of the president's new tax plan, a giveaway to the rich, $6 trillion, no estate tax.
To let's watch a full-length movie on YouTube with Mike Spiegelman. Hang on, I'm going to get Carl on the line.
Let's watch a full-length movie.
All right, hang on a sec, Carly.
I don't hear you.
Carl, there's a feedback going on, I think. How are you?
Terrible. I'm calling you back because I don't have a good phone connection.
All right, okay. Bye. All right, hi. Well, welcome back to Let's Watch a Full-Length Movie on YouTube. Carl, we had to pick a long film for us to screw up our audio before we watch. All right, so Carl's going to call us back. Let me tell you the show. Welcome. Let's Watch a Full-Length Movie on YouTube with Mike Spiegelman and Carl. What we do is we watch a full-length movie on YouTube, and you can find us on iTunes with by our initials LWAFLMOYT. Let's watch a full-length movie on YouTube.blogspot.com is our official site where we embed the movies. Where we embed the movies, and the idea is you listen to our podcast and watch the movie at the same time. So let's try this one more time, painful or not. Hello, Carl.
Hi, you back.
Oh, hey, so yeah, it's there's a big feedback going on.
I called you back.
You called me back.
Hi, you back.
Yeah, hang on. Say, Carl, how are you?
All right, good. You're feeding back? I don't hear it, so... Is it like Hendrix feedback or like, you know, early Beatles feedback?
All right. So, Carl, the idea of this show... Yeah.
Okay, you hear me well? And okay.
Yeah, I think it's as good as it's going to get for our show.
Okay.
Here, yeah. I plugged all this stuff. I was hoping we could go straight to the movie. The idea is that there's a lot of movies I always wanted to see, heard about, and they're on YouTube. I let Carl know what the movie is. Carl watches it. Carl researches it. And then we want to watch. Let's watch all this movie together. So, Carl, what's the movie today?
Today the movie is Gas.
Gas.
-S.
Oh, so it really is Gas.
Yeah, this is a Roger Corman film. It's 1970, and you'll search for GAS-S-S-S-S. Exclamation point.
Wait, hang on a second. I wrote F-A. GASASAS. Ah, Gas. I see it.
Three extra S's. So it's GAS and then SSS with dashes, hyphen.
Now,
1970.
All right. So how would you... hello, I am a 1970 ticket vendor. What movie would you like to see today?
I would like to see Gas.
Oh, are you talking about Gas or Gas?
Yeah, I'm...
Okay. Unfortunately, we're only showing the one with two S's. Actually, you need to be 18 or plus to see the triple S. So, triple S movie. All right. Stupid. All right, so this movie is 1 hour, 98 minutes, so 58 minutes. So let's just start it, right?
Okay, now I suggest Larry Crist. Not Christ, Crist.
Okay.
LARRYCRIST.
Would you say this movie is his passion?
It's the passion of the Crist.
Yeah. Okay, so he titles it Gas with the three S's, the original motion picture soundtrack.
Right.
Which is technically true because we're going to listen to watch the entire movie.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know why he says that. This is an hour and 58. It is the movie, not the soundtrack.
He's tricking the man. All right, so go ahead and click.
I kind of don't...
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, Carl.
I kind of don't understand. In this version, it starts out saying Orion. Maybe they had a contract with it. We'll see in a moment. I think you want to get moving.
Yeah. All right.
So
let's go ahead and start this movie. Yeah, Larry Crisp. Gas, the original motion picture soundtrack. I've buffered it. I hit pause. How about you?
I've buffered and I've hit pause.
Audience? All right, let's go. So go ahead and hit play at 3, 2, 1, go. Roar.
Yeah, this guy's not lion. Oh, wait, he is lion?
Oh, here's Orion. Whoa, I love this intro.
It is how Orion appears in the sky. They skip the nebula, though. And the sword.
All right, I'm not getting any sound.
You picked
from
a good
this,
film, Mike. I mean, it's not literally a good film, but it's a good piece of history.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of the Mr. Corman, right? So I'm aware that he made a bunch of movies. And by 1970, he was still, you know, he was at his peak, but he really peaked during the 50s and 60s, I think. And this, I would count 1970s as part of the 60s. And this movie is for the 60s generation. All right, what's going on? This is an animation.
We're going to see a cartoon at the beginning. And... in a minute, maybe you'll turn the voice up because the general, it's clearly they're trying to do John Wayne.
I'm having trouble with the sound on this machine again, so I'm going to wait.
Let me see if you can hear it on my side.
All right. Some Inuit.
Okay, I muted. Do you hear it? Did you hear
yeah,
it or
I did.
No? Okay, so it's a general.
The chairman of the board of Flame Out Aeronautics, the father of massive risk.
So you can hear he sounds like John Wayne. What
right.
happened is there was an accident. They invented a gas that would kill everybody over 25 years old for military purposes.
So,
and unfortunately, it got out.
So this is what the cartoon is explaining the plot. So the characters don't have to tell us a story. This stupid cartoon in the beginning will set things up.
You're right, Mike, and it's really cheap. As a matter of fact, we start after it's all gone down and everybody's dead. We don't even see dead, you know, we don't see evidence of it.
Oh, right. Yeah, because it would be stinking. I mean, old people smell, even when dead.
Yeah, even when dead. Mike, you are funny.
Well, I'm working with no sound today, Carl. Hey, does this film have, it's going to give me subtitles? No.
Okay,
gas.
You see the gas?
It's spelled
gas
normally.
Is, right.
Or it became necessary to destroy the world in order to save it. So, if I may, I love Roger Corman, but he's a fucking ripoff artist. If you saw that long title, you're going to mistake this movie for Dr. Strangelove. Do you know what I mean? He's such a fucking ripoff artist. Ooh, Cindy Williams and Ben Vereen in this. And Tally Coppola.
Yeah.
And Burt Court. God,
yep.
Burt Court. Who else we got? These guys. Is it hippie music playing? I'm going to try it again.
Now, do you remember the old saying, don't trust anybody over 30?
Yeah, I still stand for that. That's why I don't trust you.
I don't trust you. Look in the mirror and you go, yeah, right. I'm good. I don't trust it. I'm like, I'm getting up early and running around the block to start my day. Yeah, right.
Okay, so I got some vague audio. We're having a field day here on our live show. So
exactly.
We'll just do it. I could barely hear Country Joe and the Fish. Country Joe is AM, whatever. George Armitage. I mentioned this last week. He directed a movie called Miami Blues. It's one of my favorite
yeah.
movies. And he also
yeah.
directed The Big Bounce with Morgan Freeman. And he's done some really cool films. So Corman's got some good hands in this film. All right. So this takes place in Los Angeles?
No, this is Dallas, Texas.
Okay, so it's nice to have a post-apocalyptic movie that takes place in another part of the country.
Well, they hit the road. They hit the road. And, you know, they leave Dallas and go on a road trip after everybody dies.
Oh. Well, this is before, right? Because look at those olds. That guy
yeah,
should not be smoking.
Right.
It could probably kill him. Oh.
Okay, now, here's our hero.
He's running around the streets of New York, of Dallas, with a crossbow.
Yeah, he's at A&M University right
now. Is it an airplane or a crossbow?
It's a crossbow.
Oh, and here comes the rational cops, but they must be...
It's never explained why he has a crossbow and why they're chasing him. Never explained.
He probably stole it, and they're like, come back with that crossbow. It was Green Arrows. It was Hawkeye's. I'm running out of fucking things why he would be running around with a crossbow. Because he's a fucking white guy and he's on a campus with a crossbow. It makes sense to me. Oh, it says keep off the grass and the cops run over it.
Right. I don't think that was a pot joke, but it would be on everybody's mind. That's what they called it.
It's called irony, Carl. They're the man and the law says keep off the grass and they trample the law.
No, but the cops are the tramplers.
You know what? That's not even irony. That's real.
Okay, so here we go up into a church. Okay?
I see nudie picture sculptures. Man, they are running. Oh, they stop and they look at the girl, and that guy fucking tumbles like a Keystone Cop. And they're going into church, right outside church. Man, I could barely cut the irony with a fork and knife. There's a cop.
Yeah, I know. You can never cut it with a fork. So there's our hero who's now put on priest clothes for some reason.
You're shitting me. The crossbow dude put on a priest coat?
Yeah.
He's already violated three federal offenses, right? Being chased by a cop, running around with a weapon in a campus, and then impersonating a priest.
No, that's legal. You can impersonate a priest.
Wait, what's this?
You can impersonate a priest. You can impersonate an officer of the law, a member of the government.
But isn't there some federal law? I know church and state don't mix. Oh, now he's giving a confessional.
Okay, so this woman we're meeting right now, she is going to let us know. Okay, where is she? Cilla, C-I-L-L-A. What she's doing right now is she's an undergrad student. She worked with these people who created the gas. And she's letting this guy know everybody's going to die right now.
And can I mention there's a movie poster of Debbie Reynolds, the singing nun, as the singing nun, right outside the confessional, or in the confessional booth. So that's weird. And they,
my wife, I used to call my wife the singing nun because she just refuses to sing. She moves her mouth.
You know, Carl, I used to call my wife the singing nun because I said, hey, honey, and she'd say, nun.
What?
I'll say, hey, honey, you want to have sex tonight? And wait. She'll say, nun. Nun sex.
So
I'm going to keep going.
It was the Edsel. I'll bring it up later. We'll see it in a minute.
All right. Oh, that was an Edsel? God, this film is so ironic.
Well, okay. All right, so we're talking about it, so let's just bring it up. Yeah. The Edsel was a failed car, as Mike, you know, and it was a failed car because the front, I mean, the theory is, it wasn't masculine. The front has what looks to be like a woman's entrance, okay? That's the Edsel, and that's why it failed.
So, failure or not, I'm sure the Edsel would get more sets than we can. He's probably doing a show right now, the fucker. How come this Edsel's movie. Doing a set?
Edsel's in a movie right now.
Yeah, what the fuck? Edsel's in a movie and I'm fucking stuck here? No offense, Carl.
Now, it's a 1958 Edsel Pacer. You see, Pacer is really the name of it. Edsel was a car, but there were different ones. It wasn't like a company, it was a car.
So Edsel was named after, like, Henry Ford's grandson or some shit like that.
No, it was Mr. Sell. Ed Sell.
Oh, Ed Sell. Hey,
Now they're making out and they've decided we're an item, even though we met in a confessional. It's very cool you're impersonating a priest, and we're going to go on the road together.
Okay. Wow, things are happening fast for this movie.
Let me ask you something, Mike.
Sure.
The soldier, like the average soldier in Vietnam, and that's what's on the mind of these people, was 19 years old. So why would a gas kill people?
You know, we just decided to stay stoned. You know? So the whole world blows.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm getting some audio.
He's explaining his philosophy is now that the old people are gone, we're just going to stay stoned all the time.
Oh, so this already happened, and Dairy Queen is still open. Thank God.
Yeah, that's how weak they are. This movie is really weak in this way. Businesses keep going. They're just, everyone's 25 and younger. Like I was trying to get to before, never trust anybody over 30. That was the, like, mantra of the day. So what Corman is doing here is saying, okay,